Blog Talk Radio.
Stop wasting time with Mr. Wrong and decide to prepare yourself to find Mr. Right. Mr. Wrong will never be Mr. Right. Now is the time to say goodbye to Mr. Wrong right now. Get out of the singles bars and off the internet, because Mr. Right is waiting for you on your own personal divine path. Mr. Right wants to get married as much as you do. Mr. Right wants everything you want. Devoted love, acceptance, appreciation, honesty, validation, and faithfulness. So get ready to find Mr. Right. Join wedding officiant Reverend Marcy Ann as she shares with you her 20 years of experience meeting with thousands of brides and grooms and hearing their love stories of what works and what doesn't work. Every week, Reverend Marcy Ann will be expanding on the ideas and principles that she has written about in her book, 17 Things to Do While Waiting for Mr. Right, which is available at www.mrrightforme.com and at amazon.com. And now, here is Marcy Ann.
And hello to all you singles out there. This is Marcy Ann, and it is Friday night at 5 o'clock, a time a lot of times when singles think about they would like to be with someone else, have a nice evening plan to go. So tonight I just want to help you look at to how we enter into a new relationship. As you think about what you would like to have in a life partner, and to look at how we think about being joined together. This past weekend, I did a ceremony for two people who declared to family and friends in a commitment ceremony that they desire to be life partners for the rest of their life. And these were not gays. This was a man and a woman who met one another 5 years ago and who knew right at that moment of their meeting. And I do believe that this is possible, that they wanted to be together. And when you have instantaneous recognition like this, you've been together before. Now, they're not first-timers to being in relationship. She was married and had children who are now grown, and her husband had passed. And he had also been married before, just really very briefly, and had had no children. And they are of different cultures, and she is a little older than he is. And because of financial preparations that her husband had made before he passed that were set up for her and for the children, it is prudent that she not be legally married again. But recently, you know, I was having this discussion of whether to be married or not with several ladies when it's like a second marriage. And I've talked about this on other shows as well, so we're not going to go into this subject in depth tonight, but it is something for you to think about. Do you want to be legally married? And why do you want to be legally married? And I think the answer to this question is going to depend upon whether it is a first marriage or not, and if the couple would like to have children. Because if it's a second or third marriage, perhaps the couple do not wish to have any children together. And a legal marriage involves inheritance rights and right to be present at death and sometimes insurance and tax benefits, as well as a whole host of other protections. There is a website, www.nolo.com, that gives an exhaustive list of the benefits of being legally married. But you know what? Each person might already have all of that already set up, because you can do that using other types of legal documentation like deeds, contracts, domestic partnerships, powers of attorney, various estate planning, health directives, and then it might not be necessary to be legally married. Is marriage, though, just about legal things? I mean, what is your definition of marriage? And when I have asked women this question, marriage to most women is having a companion in a monogamous relationship and sharing your life together. And then that usually implies sharing all of your physical assets, like your money and your body, as well as your time, your plans, your hopes, and your dreams for the rest of your life. But in the case of life partners, and today in the case of a lot of couples who live together, there is no commingling of funds, especially if there are children involved from another relationship, because a child's inheritance should be protected. And when a man who has children legally marries again and commingles funds with a new wife, I mean, this jeopardizes not only his children's inheritance rights, but also the father's ability to provide for his own children in a manner that he's able to. But with this couple this last weekend, there is no commingling of funds. They each contribute to their own personal relationship together. It's the bride's life and her children are provided for by her husband who has passed. And the groom is independent and self-sufficient. He's an engineer and he's developing his career as a musician. And you should have seen the diamond ring he gave to her in the ceremony. I mean, it was gorgeous. I estimated it was probably a 3-carat diamond solitaire in a platinum setting. I met him when he was visiting at my neighbor's house one evening. You know, I heard this music coming out of the apartment, and when I walked by, the door was open, and I saw my neighbor Tony and Bob playing their hearts out. Bob was on the guitar, and Tony was on the bongos. So I knocked on the door, and they invited me in, and they gave me a personal concert. So naturally, I talked about doing weddings, and I asked Bob if he'd ever be interested in playing guitar for my weddings. And he said, yes, I would love to. So I set him up, and he came and played his very first gig for me at a wedding. And you know what? Now he's in a regular group that plays every weekend, and he's discovered that this is his passion. He loves playing the guitar. And up till then, he was just self-taught, but now he's taking lessons, and he's learning all about the history of the guitar. And I feel like I helped him unleash this talent that was already in him, and he's now on a path towards living his life, perhaps one day, totally in his passion. And I told him, I said, I'm going to just prophesy here, Bob. You're eventually going to be making CDs and giving concerts and being famous. Now, he had met Ellie 5 years ago, and it was love at first sight. It was one of those instantaneous cellular recognitions. And I do believe that they have been together before, and that they have found one another again this time. They are of different cultures, and she is older than he is, but none of that seems to matter. You know, there's a saying that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And when they beheld one another at that first instance, there was that immediate recognition of truth and beauty and a knowing that they were supposed to be together. So that's what they wanted to celebrate with all of their family and friends. So this is what their invitation said. Please join us as we celebrate our love and devotion to one another on Saturday, August 9th, 2014, at 12 o'clock in the afternoon in the gazebo at Laguna Beach, California. Reception to follow. And this is the opening that I wrote for their ceremony. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ellie and Bob, I would like to welcome you and thank you for coming today. We have gathered together to celebrate. So we're celebrating love and dedication, commitment, sharing and caring by publicly acknowledging and celebrating Ellie and Bob's manifested desire to live together in the presence of God, in the presence of one another, and in the presence of all of their family and friends as life partners while they are here on earth. All of us need to love and to be loved, and the highest form of love between a man and a woman is in a monogamous relationship where neither one now has any desire to be with anyone else. And Bob and Ellie have been living together in this highest form of love now for 5 years. So then we did their vows, and then we did the shell ceremony. Now, when everyone arrived, my assistant gave each person a shell and told them to just hold it. And then I said to the guests, "Ladies and gentlemen, Ellie and Bob have now shared with you their devotion for one another and their desire to live together as life partners for the rest of their life. And if you believe in their love and you want to give a blessing to their sacred union, would you now speak your blessing into the shell that you are holding? And then please come up and personally give your shell to Ellie and Bob by placing it in the keepsake container that they are now holding." And then we had such a precious time. And I watched as nearly every single person there, even the men, they closed their eyes and they spoke to the shell. And then each person came up and not only put their shell into the keepsake container, but they also spoke their wishes out loud for their happiness to them personally as well. It was a time of such tender sharing of love. It was all so sacred. So perhaps today in these times, if you are living together with someone, is it time for you to consider the purpose of your relationship, why you are living together? Do you desire to be life partners for the rest of your life? And could you have your relationship say to all of your friends and family, "We are totally and completely devoted to one another in a pure and true monogamous relationship"? And if so, would you consider having a sacred commitment ceremony with all of your family and friends? Perhaps a legal marriage isn't right for you, but a sacred ceremony is. There's a congressman right now who's proposing that we don't have legal marriages anymore. He thinks that couples should just sign a lease. I mean, we sign leases for apartments. We sign leases to buy a car. But I guess in the case of one person who doesn't want to re-sign the lease, there would have to be some sort of a provision for the children of the union. I mean, what about that man whose wife's gotten big and fat and won't have sex with him anymore? Do you think he wants to re-sign the lease? What about the woman who's with a philanderer? He's never, ever been faithful during the course of the marriage. Would she want to re-sign the lease? Years ago, I had an experience I want to share with you. It involved an agreement that I made with a man for 60 days. And here's what happened. I had just ended a relationship, and my mindset was that I just wasn't going to see anybody at all for a while. I would just continue with pursuing my writing career because I had a small writing office in San Diego, and I did resumes and advertising brochures and business letters, teacher evaluations, government stuff. I mean, anything that a person needed to have written for them. So it was Thursday, the day of the week when there's this big singles place at a nice hotel that has snacks and music and dancing. It was a very well-known in town, and lots of singles went there. So all day that day, I just kept hearing in my spirit, "Go to the Pavilion tonight." That was the name of the singles place. And all day long, I said, no, I'm not going to go there, not tonight, not ever again. And this went on all day. So fortunately for me, I thought, I had a client come in late. And the time it took to get the information to help her took me past what I considered time in order to get to the singles place before it closed. So I said to myself, see there? Now I can't even get there. But the voice said, go to the pavilion. You can get there before it closes. And so I just finally gave up. I said, okay, shut up. I will go. Well, I got there when it was just 10 minutes before closing. And the instant I stepped across the threshold at the door, this guy flashes across the room in an instant, put his arm around my waist and said, want to dance? And pulled me out onto the floor. And we danced for the 10 minutes. The music was playing Lady in Red, and I was wearing a red dress. And at the end of the song, he said, want to go to dinner? There's a steakhouse across the street. So I said, okay. And while we were at dinner, he said he was an engineer and he was in charge of the manufacturing of a part that was needed to satisfy a contract his company had with the government, and that he was from Florida and had never been to California before. And there were all kinds of things to do and places to go that he would like to go to and see and do. And would I like to go to the Highlight Games in Tijuana with him on Saturday? So I said, okay, that sounds fun. And we made our plans to meet up at the train station and take the train down to not get involved with the long car lines at the border crossing, because it was a lot simpler to go over the border on the train. And we could just take a cab to the Highlight Stadium and not have to deal with the car. I thought this all sounded really good. And then as we walked to our respective cars, he came in close and he put his arm around me again and he said, come home with me tonight. And I went. Now, this has never, ever been my pattern. But there was an energy between us that was like a magnet that just pulled us together. It just seemed so right, was easy, just seamless, so comfortable, like we had always been together, like we had always known each other. And I now know pretty much for sure that this is evidence that we have been together before, that there is cellular recognition. There's a cellular memory, a knowing that is pure and true and right for now. So I went home with him, which was the condo that his company had put up for him to stay in while he was doing the project. And on Saturday we went to the Highlight Games in Tijuana, and he said he would pay for the bets, and I could pick the winners, and if we won, we would split the money. So I said, okay, do you know that every game I picked the winner? It was just unbelievable. I didn't know anything about Highlight. We made $400, and as we were walking back to the train, he gladly counted out my $200, and he put the other $200 in his pocket. And then while we were on the train heading back to San Diego, he said, I have to tell you something. I am married, and I have a 14-year-old son, and I am committed to raising my son and seeing that he has every advantage to be successful in his life. So I am committed to my marriage for now. I'm going to be in San Diego for 60 days, and I can't go home because I'm in charge of these three shifts that we've got running to get this part made in time to fulfill this government contract my company has, which is this billions of dollars. Will you stay with me for these 60 days? And then when I leave, I will go back to Florida, and we must never contact each other ever again. and we will never see one another again. And I looked into his eyes and I said, yes, I will. And those 60 days were some of the most wonderful days of my life, filled with wonderful memories. We had so much fun. We went everywhere and did everything there is to do in Southern California. And we together at home and we ate out and we laughed and laughed. And we made love as two people who were together in every way. And it was the best sex I have ever experienced. It seemed like we were just in our own special field, which was not in time and space. It had no limitations. It was boundless in our capacity to enjoy and experience one another because there was no interference. There was no baggage from any past interactions, no memories of past traumas or hurts, bags full of resentments and betrayals, abuses and lies and anger and times of misunderstanding. There were just no triggers, no buttons that could be pushed. We were free, just two people who chose to be together for 60 days and to love and be loved. And at the end of those 60 days, I packed my bags and we went into the living room and sat on the sofa and we held each other. And then he pushed me back and he looked in my eyes and I saw he had tears in his eyes and he said, this just wasn't supposed to happen. He said, I love you. And I said, and I love you, and this has been wonderful. And now I release you and send you back to that precious boy who deserves to have his dad and his mom there to get him launched and to make sure that he has every advantage to get out there in this big bad world and make it like his dad has. And I will never forget you, and I promise to never contact you or ever see you again, but I will never forget you. And to this day, when I hear that song, Lady in Red, I can go into those days of our being together and I can feel such happiness and such peacefulness. And there would be a lot of people who would judge this situation and say it was wrong and it was wicked and he broke his vows and all those other things I'm hearing a lot of you say now. But if I had to do this all over again, I would do exactly the same thing because we were meant to be together for those 60 days. I believe it was ordained, and it was given to us a special gift outside of third-dimensional time and space, and it is forever recorded in the Akashic Records as an example of how relationships are supposed to be, and the hope that all relationships can be that today. There's a congressman in Massachusetts who's proposing that a couple who's going to get a divorce and has children would have to get permission from a judge to have any kind of sex until the divorce is final. And now currently Massachusetts divorce law mandates a waiting period of at least 120 days for divorces to become final. And that is 120 days after a judge has approved a separation agreement, and that could take like another month or two. So it could take at least 4 months and sometimes longer before a person can get a divorce. So Senator Ross, on behalf of one of his constituents, because apparently Massachusetts law also allows legislators to put forth a citizen's piece of legislation for the citizen, introduced a bill to amend the Massachusetts divorce law with the following provision. In separation and divorce, which involve children and a marital home, the party remaining in the home shall not conduct a dating or sexual relationship within the home until a divorce is final and all financial and custody issues are resolved. Now, what this would mean is that the person who gets the home, and that's usually the woman, isn't it? And in this case, it is the woman, could not have sex with anybody for at least 4 months. And my take on this is that the wife apparently met someone else and is getting the divorce so she can be with the new guy. So the husband is trying to make it so she can't have sex with anyone until all the financial and custody matters are finally settled, and then he's just going to keep the case in the divorce court forever. Talk about a woman scorned? What about a man scorned? And did you know that in addition to prenuptial agreements, here in California, there is now a postnuptial agreement? There's a law firm here that offers a service that says, a postnuptial agreement can be used to help resolve issues in marriages by removing a source of disagreement over finances, assets, inheritances, children, what will be done with the house, investments, 401ks. It can address spousal support, debt, guaranteed beneficiary of any life insurance policies, and even what happens to the family pets. One afternoon at the beach while I was waiting to start a wedding, I was talking to one of the guests, and I found out he was a lawyer specialized in divorce. And I jokingly said, you know, I've thought about having a divorce ceremony where the couple makes their vows to dissolve the marriage in the presence of all their family and friends, but they promise to continue to be faithfully the mother and the father of the children. And he laughed and he said, you know, sometimes the most important thing is the dog. He says he's had couples fight ferociously about the pets. Who gets the pets? Pet visitation. Who pays the vet bills? Who gets them on vacation? And he didn't think the divorce celebration ceremony would work. He said his clients are full of anger, bitterness, scorn, hatred, and revenge. Okay, so that's where I want to go now. I've been working with a client who is starting a dating relationship. And she says the man she is dating is so angry about his ex-wife. He says she ruined his life. Now, this man is in his 60s. And this experience with his ex-wife was when he was 21 years old. He's lived 40 years with this hatred. His story is that he started college to pursue his plan to go to law school and be a lawyer. And he met this woman, and they had sex. And he says she intentionally got pregnant. And his mother, who was a good Christian woman, marched him to the altar to marry this woman. So he had to quit college and go to work to support her and the baby that he didn't want. And he was stuck in a grind of a job to provide a home and support for this woman he didn't love and her baby. Well, needless to say, this marriage didn't last, and eventually they were divorced. And I asked my client if she thought he might be willing to come in for counseling. I said, you know, if you are really interested in this man, you will want him to have this issue resolved before you enter into any kind of permanent relationship with him. So she asked him to come, and he agreed to come to see me. Now, in several sessions, we looked at his life to assess how it had been ruined. And he had become very successful in a business he started himself, a business that offered office supplies to customers on a regular basis. And on the side, he ran an antique store because he's always loved antiques, and he's become quite an expert on them. So I asked him, well, how is your life ruined? He said, well, I wanted to be a lawyer. So I said, well, why didn't you go ahead and go to law school anyway? He said, I had to support my wife and the baby. And so then I said, well, after the divorce, why didn't you go to law school then? And he said, well, I met another woman, we got married and had two more children. So I had to support my wife and my children. So I said, well, that was your choice. You know, we create our life by the choices we make. Apparently, it became more important to you to get married again and not be alone and have some more children. And no one had a gun to your head that time. No mother was marching you down the altar to marry this second woman. And he sat there and struggled with this clarity. And then finally, he said, well, that's right. I did. I decided that myself. And I do have two wonderful children that I love very much. And I said, well, there, my friend, there is where you can begin to be thankful and grateful and release that old anger that's just attached to an excuse. Really, that's all it is. It's just an excuse you use to satisfy your ego as to why you're not a lawyer. What's so wrong with selling office supplies? You've earned a good living. You've provided a necessary service to many happy customers who have depended upon you all of these years to keep their offices running smoothly, and they are grateful and thankful to you. So you could begin to be grateful and thankful that you were needed by corporate commerce in this great country of ours. And you can be grateful and thankful that you have three great kids. And I could see him begin to visibly soften. There was like an invisible, hard, and rigid outline of a person there that dissolved. And instead, there was this soft and loving person there who began to feel grateful and thankful. So I sent him back to my lady client. And the next time she came in to see me, it was concerning when it was time for them to begin to be intimate. So we developed a ritual for them to use when they were going to begin to be together in those times that would involve intimacy, that they would stand in front of each other and look in each other's eyes. And then they each would take one step back. And this is so each of them steps out of any other part of their past relationships and experiences that are not relevant to the present relationship. It isn't fair to bring an ex-wife or an ex-husband into the present when you're with a new person. Or bring in any user or abuser from the past. You know, the person you are with now in the present relationship didn't know your ex-wife. They didn't know your ex-husband or that person who done you wrong. The person you're with now didn't have anything to do with what happened back then. So as you step back, you consciously see yourself detaching from all past hurts, past betrayals, past grievances, past traumas, all memories of violation or deception, lying and cheating, broken trust and broken promises. And then I suggested that they each take a pair of scissors and cut all around the outside of each other's body in the etheric field of our bodies, that area of our aura that extends out 3 feet all around us. People call it their personal space, because that's many times where all of this is stored. And a lot of times that's what you run into in a person when you first come up against them. And so take the scissors and cut all around the outside of each other's body as each one consciously detaches themselves from the past. Any part of the past that could be damaging to the current relationship. And then, after they had done this, then they would consciously, with their eyes open, looking deeply into each other's eyes, they would take a step back towards one another as a person who is now free to love and to be loved again in emotional freedom, and then go into each other's arms. Then I discussed with her whether or not she was going to have him ejaculate his sperm inside of her. And this is a situation-to-situation thing. So, in this case, she is a woman who is past her childbearing years. But if you are a woman who is still in your childbearing years, then it is your responsibility to make sure that there is protection. I believe it's always the woman's responsibility to make sure about the protection. There should never be an unplanned pregnancy. There should never be a time when a woman uses a pregnancy to try to get a man to do what she wants him to do. Pregnancy should always be planned between a man and a woman who love one another and who have made definite plans for the child and be totally committed to see that that child has every opportunity in his life to develop into an independent, self-sufficient, contributing adult member of our society. And if the woman is past her childbearing years, you know, then she could have the option of allowing sex without protection, which, of course, is what the man would prefer. And since my client is past her childbearing years, she could have unprotected sex. But I wanted to discuss with her the fact that if a woman takes a man's semen inside of her, that that is pure protein, and it is going to go all throughout her body and make tissue, bones and muscles and organs and blood, and that man is now going to be part of her. So a woman never wants to take the semen of a man inside of her that she isn't comfortable with or doesn't know very well, or someone who does have all sorts of damage and lots of baggage, because that is what she's going to be taking inside of her. So I suggested that after they had done the cutting ceremony, if they were going to be intimate, that she then pray over his testicles where the semen is, and ask for it to be purified and cleansed of all negative influences so it could be only a pure and true representation of the spiritual soul of the man. So she did. And at her next session, she reported that it was an amazing experience. She said they went into each other's arms, and there was such a connection together, such a feeling of freedom to feel true feelings of love, and that they danced a little bit, and they felt such strong emotions that they just went right back to their bedroom. And then she reported that he said to her, "I think that this is the first time I have ever made true love. I think I must have always just apparently had sex. What a difference." And she said she felt cherished and adored. And shyly, she added, she almost was felt ravished, but in a totally, totally good way. It was so absolutely, powerfully wonderful. Like he was loving her with his whole true self, untarnished and uncontaminated by anything of the past. You know, I have always said that a man wants the same thing that a woman wants. As a human, we both have the same needs and desires, male or female. And actually, we are both male and female in our created form. And somewhere along the DNA trail, eventually either the male or the female becomes dominant. But we are a curiously combined species that can relate together at so many different levels and dimensions. And the more free of the past we are, when we come together in any type of relationship, whether it is casual or intimate, the more power of true love is going to be available to us, and the less we will need to depend upon contracts or legalized documents or prenups or postnups or 60-day agreements to work something out. You know, in the case of Bob and Ellie in the 5 years of their relationship, there has never been a single moment of temper or rejection or abandonment or selfishness. There has just been trust and respect between the two of them, loving and being loved. And in those 60 days I had with my guy from Florida, I experienced the bliss of being together, man and woman, in our true selves. Just having a wonderful time the way it's supposed to be. So tonight, we're going to take a few minutes to look at relationships, looking to find Mr. or Miss Right and be able to be with them in an environment of emotional freedom with the opportunity to know what it feels like to be in union, in simplicity, in purity, and constancy. And so this is Marcy Ann. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to The Finding Mr. Right Show with your host, Marcy Ann. You can purchase Marcy Ann's book at www.MrRightForMe.com or reach Marcy Ann at www.MarcyAnn.com. And please join us every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time for more ways to Finding Mr. Right.